Praise the Lord, saints.
Good morning. Praise the Lord.
Our word today comes from the book of Genesis, the 19th chapter, starting with verse 15. Mm-hmm. It answered a question that I've had for a long time, and I'll reveal that as we get into the scripture. Genesis 19, starting with verse 15, out of the NIV version, says, "With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, 'Hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished.' When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, 'Flee for your lives. Don't look back,'" underline that, "'and don't stop anywhere in the plains. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away.' But Lot said to them, 'No, my lords, please. Your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life. But I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me and I'll die. Look, here's a town near enough to run to, and it is small. Let me flee to it. It is very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared.'" Verse 21, he said to him, "Very well, I will grant this request too. I will not overthrow the town you speak of, but flee there quickly, because I cannot do anything until you reach it." That is why the town is called Zoar. By the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, destroying all those living in the cities and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. I want to speak today on the topic, the pillar of salt. Amen?
Amen.
The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah angered God with their evil ways. See, the Bible stated that they had committed all manners of sin. God was so angry that he decided to destroy these cities. Now, Abraham, who is Lot's brother, had found favor with God. So Abraham, knowing that Lot lived in those cities, asked God if he had found anyone, if he found anybody righteous within that city, that God would spare the cities. Now, because Lot and his family lived in those cities, which is why Abraham begged God, "Please don't destroy, because you'll destroy my family, my brother and his family." The Bible does not tell us whether Lot or his family was also guilty of the many sins like the rest of the towns. However, since God said he was going to destroy the cities, we can assume that they were just as guilty as everybody else, because Abraham asked God if you could find one righteous person, you would not destroy the city. Mm-hmm. Well, he couldn't find anybody righteous, and Lot lived in a city. His family lived in a city. So we can assume that Lot was just as unrighteous as the rest of them. Even if they did not participate in the sins of the city, they were guilty by association. Now, let me ask you a few questions regarding that matter. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been around people who were doing wrong and you knew that you did not belong there? Mm. Question two, did you leave right away once you saw what was going on, or did you decide to stick around? Another question, have you ever gotten into a mess because you were guilty by association? Now, although you may not have fully participated with your actions, mm-hmm. you were there nevertheless. Why? because you wanted to be there. It was a desire of your heart, or you would not be there in the first place, so you would have left as soon as you could. Lot and his family had the same thing. They could have left Sodom and Gomorrah. They knew what was going on. They could have left. But by them staying, they were guilty by association. When you are around a lot of sin folks, it tends to rub off on you. And you get caught up in the mess. Now, God loved Abraham. He loved him so much that he decided to save his brother Lot, Lot's wife, and his two kids from being destroyed in the city. God went as far as to send two angels to get Lot and his family out. Now, the two angels arrived and told Lot in verse 15 to hurry. Take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished. Mm. It says in verse 17 that Lot hesitated. He hesitated so much the men grasped his hands and the hands of his wife and his two daughters and pulled them out of the city. They had to literally force them to leave. Isn't that scary? But that's the mercy of God, because he did not have to save Lot, his wife, and his daughters. Lot did not take the angels at their word when he hesitated. Which brings me to another question. Have you ever hesitated when God told you to do something? No need to raise your hand. We're all guilty. I'll give you an example of me. I'm in the pulpit. Oh, surely pastor never did anything like that. Well, yes, I did. In 1988, when I first got the call into the ministry, I was at a church in Virginia. I left the church in Virginia, which was an hour and a half from my house, to go to a church that was three blocks from my house. I didn't ask God, should I go? I just went. So God told me, you know what, son? That's okay. Then God told me to leave that church in Maryland and go back to the church in Virginia. I didn't do it. I didn't. Not only did I hesitate, I didn't make any plans to go back to that church. The thought wasn't even in my mind to go back to that church in Virginia. So God said, okay, I got something for you. So within 3 months, I was unemployed. I was having all kinds of issues with my health. And I was broke as broke could be. Rent, mortgage due. Had two small children. And a wife at the time that didn't understand any of this. So, me being stubborn, kept going to that church, asking them for prayer to get me through this thing. But none of that worked. Why? Because I was being disobedient. God told me to leave, but I wouldn't go. So finally, the light bulb went off in my head and said, wait a minute now. What's going on? I finally stopped long enough to ask God. I said, God, what is going on? He said, well, I told you to leave, son. Why are you still there? My heart was still at that church in Maryland, when myself should have been in the church in Virginia. So finally, without hesitation, I may add, I left the church in Maryland, went to the church in Virginia, and within a week, I had a new job, my mortgage got paid, my bills were caught up within 1 week. I could have avoided all of that had I just been obedient to God in the first place. I would have avoided 3 months of pure, you know what. I mean, it was rough. You know, being unemployed, you know, the phone's ringing off the hook, your mortgage is due, we're going to foreclose, you got two small kids. I mean, it's just a lot to be on your plate. But all of it could have been avoided had I been obedient to God and not been disobedient. Now, granted, that was 1988. I'm not saying I'm perfect now in 2021, But it shows you that there's a price to pay for being disobedient. So I'm going to get back to the scripture. It says in verse 17 that Lot hesitated, and that the angels grabbed his hands of his wife and his daughter, and literally pulled him out. In verse 17, it says, as soon as they were brought, the angels had brought them out, one of them said, they gave him a warning here, flee for your lives. Don't look back, underline, don't look back, and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away. Now, the warning from the angel was absolute and should have been heeded. They were telling Lot and his family in no uncertain terms not to look back or stop for any reason. We receive warnings from God all the time. The problem is that we do not listen, or we aren't close enough with God to hear his warnings. It would be a good idea, gang, to develop your relationship with God through prayer and spending quiet time with him so that you can hear his warnings to you. If you hear his warnings and you adhere to his warnings, you can avoid a whole lot of issues like I just illustrated in my own life back in 88. In references to verse 18 to 21, Lot knew the land and asked the angels, could he go to the nearest town instead of the mountains, which was further away? Because this storm now was moving like a hurricane, like a tornado. It was coming very quickly, and it was overtaking everything. And you can't outrun a tornado. You can't outrun a hurricane. And that's what it was. But in that scripture, Lot told on himself. He said Lot knew the land, right? And he knew that there was a town near Sodom and Gomorrah that was not sinning. So he told on himself. He could have been gone to that land, okay, that next city. So the angel said, okay, you can go. He said, it would be fine, but he gave them another warning. He said, flee there quickly, because I can't stop what God would do, okay? If I were you, dude, I would hurry up and get going. Don't pack a bag. Don't worry about your worldly possessions. Just leave. Because when this thing comes, you're not going to have time to do anything but get out of Dodge. Okay, that's just putting it in my terms. But that's what the scripture's saying. Lot and his family was on the clock. The angels knew that they would be cutting it real close if they did not hurry. The fury of the Lord was going to happen real soon, like immediately, okay? Verses 23 and 25 state that Lot and his family arrived in the nearest city of Zoar just in the nick of time. I mean, literally, the damages and the destruction was literally right over their shoulder, behind them. The fury of God had been released on Sodom and Gomorrah. And he was destroying everything, including vegetation. Now that brings me to verse 26, which states, but Lot's wife looked back now, and she became a pillar of salt. Now, I'll be honest with you, I've been wrestling with the meaning of this pillar of salt thing for over 40 years. I've tried to figure it out in my own way without any success. And then I just finally said, you know what? I bit the bullet and said, Lord, show me what I'm missing. First of all, Lot's wife was disobedient when she looked back, when she was told not to do so, okay? Now, I've always looked at the literal sense of pillar of salt, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's a reason that God told them not to look back and to flee in a hurry. The remnants, the very remnants of destruction would overtake them if they looked back even for a hot minute. I mean, it was right on their heels, literally. I thought in my human mind that the pillar was an actual pillar of salt. God told me that she did turn into a pillar of salt, but that is not the end of it. The pillar represents a monument for all to see. This monument is a forever sign of what happens when you are disobedient to God. Lot's wife looked back because her heart was in the city that she just left. And in doing so, the remnants of the storm overtook her. Now, let me get to the salt part. The city of Zoar was a salt town near the Dead Sea, with the mountain an area of salt that spanned over 6 miles and was 1,000 feet high. It is covered with a crust of earth several feet thick. This is where the salt came from, guys. Now, being an example of disobedience is not something that we want to be. Okay? And Jesus even mentions this in Luke chapter 17, verse 32, when he's explaining, preaching about the rapture, saying that one will be left and one will stay. He mentioned in verse 32, he said, remember Lot's wife. That bothered me. I said, wait a minute. That tied everything together to me, you know? Mm-hmm. Remember Lot's wife. When he's telling these people in Luke 17, you know, you ain't going to have time to go back and get your possessions. You're not going to have time to do this and do that. Right. Just remember Lot's wife. She tried to do that, and it didn't work out for her because she was disobedient. God was telling them in Luke 17 the same thing that the angels told Lot and his family. You don't have time to go back and try and get anything. It's no time. Time is over now. All you need to do is get out of Dodge. You need to leave. And Jesus told them, remember Lot's wife, because Lot's wife is a living example of what you should not do when God tells you to do something. Mm-hmm. What you should do is be obedient. Now, Lot's wife has become a lasting symbol of disobedience, which is why God turned her to a pillar or a monument of salt or disobedience. When God tells us not to do something, you know, it'll probably be to our best advantage to listen. But as I was reading all this, I felt compassion for Lot's wife. They don't even mention her name in the Bible. Because we have been just as disobedient to God as she has. But the price for our disobedience has not been nearly as costly as being known as a pillar of salt or a monument of disobedience for generations to come. We can't judge her because we all have fallen short in this area.
That's true.
The lady, the poor, lost, nameless wife, has gone down in history as an example for all time of disobedience to what happens with disobedience to God. Mm-hmm. I mean, even after we leave our bodies and go on, the next generation after that, I mean, it's just going to keep going on and on, where this lady is going to be constantly used as a monument, an example of disobedience. I really feel sorry for her. That's a heavy thing. God's grace is the only reason why we are not pillars of salt ourselves. Amen. Okay? I really, really feel compassion for her. I don't know who this lady is or who she was. I don't know her name. I know she had 2 daughters. But that's something to be known, is that throughout eternity, basically, as a pillar of salt, a monument of what can happen to you if you're disobedient to God. Whew. In closing, we should, not only should we just have compassion for Lot's wife, but every time we think about being obedient or being contrary to what God wants to do, we need to remember Lot's wife. You know, and realize that there's a price to pay for being disobedient to God. Hmm. You know, we should use that as an example for us. and ask ourselves a very simple question. Is it worth it to be disobedient? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, our Lord, in the name of Jesus we come. Thank you, Father, for this word and your teachings, Lord. Father, as you know, I've been struggling trying to figure out what this pillar of salt meant, but now I do, thanks to you. Thank you for opening our eyes, our heart, and our ears to hear, receive your word. Thank you for teaching us, correcting us, and we repent, Father. In fact, I repent for Lot's wife. I repent for her in the name of Jesus, Lord. It's a heavy burden being known throughout time as a pillar of disobedience to you, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that we will be obedient to you. Help us to develop our relationship with you. Help us to hear your voice, Lord. And help us to act without hesitation, I may add, in doing what you tell us to do and not doing what you don't want us to do, Lord. We desire to please you, Lord. We desire to be obedient to your will and your way. Help us to do that, Lord, so that we can walk upright in you. Father, we thank you. I pray that this word will go forth, Father, and touch many lives, Lord. I thank you for it. We give you all praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.